Welcome to Psych Tech, the Psychology and Technology Podcast. I am Josue Cardona with Kelly Dunlap. What is up, Kelly?
A lot. We have a lot of stuff going on in our lives right now, but we are here this week with you, loyal Psych Tech listeners, and we're super stoked about it.
It is Mental Health Awareness Month, May, every year, and I think we should just go down deep into some mental health talk. Specifically, we're kind of discussing what topic to touch upon. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm framing it kind of like sharing mental health. How does that sound? Sound appropriate?
Yeah.
Sort of?
It could be. It might need some work.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. That's good. Let's roll with that.
I'll leave it general. You know, and one thing I've been trying to say throughout this month is that, you know, mental health is not always a clinical issue. There is a lot of positive mental health and, content that is being shared around. I would argue that sharing cute puppy pictures is probably, you know, we could argue that there's some positive mental health sharing going on there. Yeah? No? Think so?
I mean, I follow We Rate Dogs on Twitter. And that often is my kind of therapy. Like when I'm scrolling through my feed and I see all this horrible news and stuff that's coming out. And then all of a sudden there's a really cute puppy picture and a really cute comment to go with it. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Not everything is awful.
No, it's not all awful. And in mental health, it's not always a negative thing. We're not always talking about mental illness. There's a lot of positive talk. But I don't feel that today's is going to be really that positive. But I just want to put it out there.
Disclaimer. Nice front and center. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably, you know, content warnings across the board. We're going to be talking about mental health. We're going to be talking about mental health issues, disorders, suicide, depression, anxiety. We'll probably touch everything. So let's get into it.
All right.
Where do you want to start?
Well, I saw this article a couple days ago, and it was about Facebook employing people to monitor the video streams that when people go live on Facebook, because there's been I don't know whether it's an uptick or if it's something that's just sensationalized to make it seem like there's an uptick in people Facebook living. Is that what they even call it? Facebook living? Facebook streaming, I guess?
We could just say live streaming in general, because it doesn't just have to be Facebook, right, that we're going to talk about. But in this particular, I guess, going on Facebook Live,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Facebook Live, people streaming either suicide or self-harming behaviors on Facebook. And what got my attention first off wasn't even so much from a mental health perspective as a clinician, but as somebody who's worked in community management for a really, really long time. And I mean, I know what it did and does to me when I have to kind of read the vitriolic comments or things like that come across when you live on the internet in a gaming space, in my case, reading what people say about, not even about you, but about another human being. And it's really taxing to have to read that and evaluate, okay, is this death threat really a death threat, or is it more of like a playful? And it's just really, really challenging. So my first gut reaction to this Facebook article was, oh my gosh, I really hope that they have a lot of trained counselors on staff who are going to be there and be supporting these observers, because I mean, that to me is critical. Like that's, Yeah, that's like due diligence, the basic minimum that they could do for their employees. So I hope that that is in place.
That's a really good point. When I first heard that, it was like, oh, we're going to, double our staff, to monitor video streams. And I thought, wow, that's very responsive of them. That's maybe even like a cool job to have. You might think like, man, I'm doing a good service to the community. Yeah, but obviously, man, you're going to be seeing some stuff, especially because you can't possibly monitor 1 billion people's, activity. So you're going to be relying on a lot of reporting. And Facebook has actually done a really good job recently in adding all of these additional tools for reporting, even very specific things. So if you're yeah, if like that's your job to monitor this stuff, you're getting a report that someone is, you know, either there's a suicide happening or there is self-injury or anything like that, like you need to jump on that immediately and you're gonna see what's going on.
Yeah. And I think the first glance most people will think about, oh, it's about the people who are harming themselves on the stream. What can we do to help them? And absolutely, I'm not trying to say that that is not an important issue, because it definitely is. It raises all sorts of questions to me about, you know, confidentiality and duty to inform and all that, like, really important clinical stuff as a therapist. But I do think that there's a very strong possibility that the people working behind the scenes who have to monitor that will get forgotten or left out of that conversation. So I just wanted to hit that right off the bat, that these people are basically exposing themselves to trauma over and over and over again in the name of keeping Facebook a safe place to be.
You know, YouTube is currently demonetizing many people's videos because it has to do with advertisement, and advertisers don't want to, you know, put an ad in front of something that might be controversial or explicit. But the way they're doing that is automatic, right? There's AI running in the background that's kind of scrubbing the material and deciding what's good or what's bad. And, you know, you can only do that so much. And Facebook, I mean, you know, there's this quote I found from Mark Zuckerberg that said, you know, he wanted his product to support all personal and emotional, raw and visceral ways that people communicate, right? So he's taking an opposite stance, right? Of like, we're not going to, you know, we want people to talk about things that are important to them or matter to them. But within that definition, I mean, again, you have things that are going to be disturbing for, again, we're talking about viewers here, right? What effect it would have on the person viewing that content. And in particular, somebody who is actually going to, it's their job to view that content. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, there's so many facets to this. I think it's like 10 episodes that we're going to touch on, worth of content at least. Because there's, you know, like I mentioned, the people working behind the scenes. Then there's people who are doing the streaming themselves. And there's been a big push in the Twitch live streaming industry about mental health related issues. There was an article that recently came out. I think it was titled How Twitch Streaming Ruined My Life. I want to say it was put out by Vox. And it talked about this streamer who basically worked himself into the hospital with the amount that he was streaming, because he was streaming so frequently and with such a demand physically and emotionally and mentally that he had to be hospitalized. So, and again, I feel like I have a very unique view on that, because I am a streamer. And when I hear somebody talking about how Twitch made them this way, I tend to call BS. I guess I have my streamer hat on instead of my empathic therapist hat, because I feel like it's your responsibility to do things like eat and sleep. And, you know, Twitch isn't making you do anything, at least in my opinion. And so I definitely feel like it was more of the sensationalized, you know, video games, future, any kind of technology is dangerous and bad for your health, as opposed to, hey, you know, here's some really positive steps you can take to make sure that you keep that balance. I don't think that conversation gets had enough.
And with the streamer discussion, what's happening really is that they're being overworked. And, you know, they decided to do this full time. And the only way to get that done, and the only way to get, you know, that tip jar full and to give people what they want, is to be there more than is humanly possible. And so I get that part of being overworked. But I think that the part that maybe even more so isn't being talked about isn't the fact that it's happening. It's that it's you're seeing somebody essentially suffer or kind of unravel, someone become exhausted in front of your eyes. This is being recorded and broadcast, where someone is literally deteriorating. If somebody doesn't sleep for 24 hours, they're not doing okay. And to the idea that is being put on Yeah, I'm sorry, some people can relate.
I'm only laughing not for those who are suffering, but because I've done 24-hour gaming marathons and I know how much they suck. So yeah. that's why I'm laughing more at myself than anything else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh man. And so imagine to do that consistently, and you know, you're putting on a show, and to get to see that happening, right? Like, yeah, like a 24-hour stream for charity or something like that. I've done those, and you get kind of silly, and you look back and you're like, whoa, I can't believe like that's how I looked and that's what I was saying. But prolonged and sustained, it's not healthy. And again, the idea that that is being broadcast and you can see that happening, and maybe nobody's talking about what's happening on screen, is disturbing.
Yeah. And I mean, that again, that's just another area of to look at in terms of mental health and streaming, streaming your mental health. And then I also know several streamers personally and just, you know, through the gaming grapevine who have actually developed mental health issues because of not streaming. Because, again, I'm never a proponent that technology forces us to do anything. That's just my stance. But the toxicity of the communities that they were streaming to got to them. So I have a friend of mine who was a Twitch streamer. It still is a Twitch streamer. And basically the comments that she received as a streamer really were hurtful and damaging. And I mean, thankfully she's fine. She does see a therapist and she's doing really well. And she's doing really great, which I want to emphasize. But I mean, even just you can be a completely healthy, normal person streaming a normal amount or a healthy amount of time, but you do get people that come in, like a lot of places on the internet, and say things that are really just horrific. And I think maybe obviously both men and women get the abuse, but there it tends to be very different kinds of abuse. And I know one thing that I can just tell from my experience is when I was streaming on the regular before I had my little guy, when we would stream, I would like take the time to make sure that I did my hair and that I put on makeup and that I had on the right shirt and that the lighting was good. And here's all the stuff that I normally don't care about. You know, I wear makeup like twice a year for like a job interview or something else. And here I was doing it on the regular because that perception from others was so important. And I didn't like it. Like after a couple of weeks, I got really tired of putting on all this extra effort on myself to be what I guess people were hoping and or whatever. I don't even know. And I just kind of stopped because I got tired of it. And so, yeah, I mean, even something as minimal as that, I was only streaming two or three, you know, like twice a week for maybe an hour or two each. So not even extreme, but just, you know, I can't tell you how many times somebody came into the stream and said something like, hey, who's that fat girl, you know, broadcasting, or, you know, what's with Carrot Top, or, you know, just, you know, all the horrible things you would expect to hear on like a play yard by juveniles. And it can get to you. And so even if you have good mental health coming into this space, it is possible to have some of that confidence or self-efficacy and self-esteem damaged because of the kind of interactions that sometimes happen in streaming.
Yeah. I mean, I've done like 4 YouTube videos in the past week, and I'm reminded by how wonderful it is to just podcast and not have to worry about all that physical stuff.
We have faces made for radio, Josue.
Yes. Yes, we do. Last time I was like, I'm just putting a hat on. I don't care.
Yeah.
There's just so much on both sides, and something, you know, on the streaming topic, and maybe where I want to go with this is that, okay, so these things are happening, right? Not only are they happening, you know, the streamer is receiving this toxicity, the viewers are seeing this toxicity play out. It's happening, right? And I'm assuming that we're, you know, I'm talking about a viewer who is not the perpetrator, right? Who's not actually saying anything nasty. It's just you're there for some content, and now there are all these things happening, right? Whether it's you're on Facebook and suddenly in your stream there's a suicide happening, or if you're watching your favorite streamer and they've been on a marathon and they're, you know, not doing okay, or just, you know, you're streaming 2 or 3 times a week and people are just being nasty to you. All of that is affecting everybody that is there. And I think that something that is I'm seeing happen more and more is people being open about that. People being open about how it's affecting them and other issues that they may be having. So maybe, you know, like I there are a few YouTubers that I really like, and every now and then they talk about their mental health struggles, and I always appreciate that. But in the context of this conversation, I've been thinking about, wow, sometimes you're just watching something, or you're there for one reason, and all this other stuff is starting to come out. And what effect does that have on people? And there's a big difference between talking about your struggles with anxiety and talking about another extreme where it's like maybe you have started, you know, self-injury, or you have suicidal ideation and you're thinking about doing it. What is there's a big range of things, of conversations that we're having, because communication is so open and because we are so used to, like Mark Zuckerberg is asking us all to do, you know, just like broadcast your life essentially and share everything. And I think that there's a lot there, and these are conversations that I think that aren't happening enough, right? Or there's different degrees, right, of things happening here. And I don't think we address them all enough.
I mean, I think that's a really solid comment for Mental Health Awareness Month in general, is we don't talk about mental health, and I feel like in any capacity, well enough. Obviously, we're focusing on the technology side of things, and technology tends to be a pretty unforgiving place for any kind of human flaw, whether it's real or perceived. So now, on the other hand, you know, there it can be a really supportive place too. So, you know, you can share your story with people and get that kind of support and feedback, and, you know, anything from a role model to someone just speaking out about an important topic can be really influential and can be really helpful as well.
There's so much of that across the board too, right? Like for every, well, it depends on the community too, how much positive and how much negative negativity there is. And I think how you build that community, I don't know, like do you that have done a lot of community building, how much do you feel that is out of your control? Like building a quality community. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does. And one thing that I've told several people who have asked is, you build the community you want to run. And I can't emphasize that enough. I will say the disclaimer that the community that I built is not a public entity. So it's not like Microsoft or Sony or an actual company that relies on customers. Because one thing that I always say is, you know, if something's cancerous, you cut it out. If someone's toxic to your community, you block them. Like you can try and engage them, but at the end of the day, if they're problematic, just get rid of them, which is a luxury that not a lot of larger organizations have. But for people who are kind of developing their own following, keep in mind that one toxic person can ruin an experience for tens, dozens of people. And so I personally think you lose a lot more by allowing that kind of thing. But yeah, I feel like you totally, as the owner of your community, or as the community manager, or whatever role you're playing, it starts from the top down, and the values that you put into the community are the values that you're going to get out of the community. So I think it's critically important that whoever is running, establishing, fostering, growing that community, they kind of live and lead by example. So I definitely think it has a huge, huge impact for those who are running the community. Not everything is within your control. I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do, But if you want to set a specific tone of what is normal, of what is accepted in your community, then absolutely, it starts with the community manager. And if there's someone up higher than them, it starts there too. Because there's nothing worse than being a community manager and thinking something should go this way and having the rug swept out from under you and said, no, we can't do that because we don't want to lose customers or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference also between an audience and a community. Right? Like if we're putting stuff out there, we can't control who listens to the podcast. But then in terms of, you know, when there's engagement, we can have more control over that. So that's why I feel like that's why closed Facebook groups or even open Facebook groups, right? Like they've become so popular, even despite – I think it's funny. I'm a member of many Facebook groups now, but I don't like Facebook. I never use it. Right? Like I don't use my feed because on one hand, it's me trying to take control of – what I'm, I guess it's, you could say the community I'm a part of, right? Like the friends I have, the people I follow or do not follow. Like it's so, you know, it's so hard to cater it so that it is enjoyable, I guess, right? And Facebook groups are a different entity. They allow for more control and more inclusiveness, I guess. And they do allow you to do like you just said, right? Like if something is toxic, you can cut it out and get rid of that. But there's still so much that is, again, like as a viewer, like things that you kind of stumble upon and step into. There's a lot of stuff going on online. It's kind of the theme because we're all sharing so much. And I guess I do want to focus a little bit on the positive because there's a lot of good stuff happening online. I think that it's great that more and more people are talking about mental health. And again, across the board, like one YouTube channel that I recently started, I recently subscribed to and I really like is all about ADHD. And I really enjoy that channel. And it's I feel like I can relate to what they're talking about. There's cool tips and, you know, the comments there are interesting because it's people who want that kind of material. But there are entirely different ones, like people who are talking about their experience with schizophrenia. And we have a whole spectrum of people now sharing different facets of mental health.
Yeah. So I started to Reddit. I've been a very, very late adopter of Reddit. And so I'm still kind of learning my way around. I was like, oh, I'll just look up like a psychology or mental health Reddit. Oh my gosh. And I pulled up one, I pulled up a couple, and it's mostly people complaining about their problems, which is not in and of itself a bad thing. You know, if you have a supportive community and you want to share what's going on, that's fine. But myself, even as a mental health clinician, I don't really want to go into something where that's all anybody's doing. So I totally agree that it's hard to kind of find a group or a community, I guess, that you like that is supportive enough for you to share those kinds of personal bits of information, but that you don't feel overwhelmed. Because again, I only scrolled through, you know, I scrolled through a couple times on a couple subreddits and I'm like, this, I can't do this. Like I want to be part of a conversation, but this is really difficult to see so many people basically asking strangers for help and support. Yeah. And so I think that's a particular struggle of mental health specifically is that if you're searching for that kind of place, it can be very difficult to find something that's a healthy repository for sharing thoughts, feelings, and ideas, as opposed to just kind of a dumping ground for what ails you.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not going to have necessarily any answers, no deep analysis or anything like that. Like we're having a broad conversation about this topic. That's why I think we're both like kind of like, whoa, like where do we go now? Like like there's so much to digest. But something you just said reminded me of one time we were at PAX and we were at a mental health panel and it was full and there were no mental health professionals on it. And it was essentially what you just described, right? It was a guy who was like, hey, I've had mental health issues. I want everybody to come together and let's all talk about our mental health issues. And if you don't think that sounds potentially, what would be the word? I mean, not dangerous, but
creeped up.
Yeah, there's some possibility for things to not go well. And surely enough, I mean, there were people who were absolutely I don't know why people went to that panel. Like, were they looking for support? Were they looking for information? And you had people crying, people who someone seemed to be having a manic episode there. Like, there were all of these things happening. And whose responsibility is it to take care of that? Were the people who were, at the panel equipped for that? And don't even get me started on, like, I mean, yeah, YouTube is great because people are talking about mental health, but there's also tons of bullshit. Like, there are people who are talking about things that they know nothing about. And I guess, yeah, at this point, it does get dangerous. Oh, now that pendulum swung back. We went from positive to, like, it's scary.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because on one hand, people want to share their personal experiences, they want to build communities, they want people to feel heard and supported, and that's wonderful and that's great. And especially if you're in a space where, like, architecture or, I don't know, bricklaying or something, you know, it's pretty, I would imagine, easy to build a community around that shared interest and that shared experience that doesn't have the potential to become detrimental or harmful. Whereas if you start talking about something either that you've experienced or you've seen someone else experienced, you know, there are real ramifications for sharing information that is that sensitive. Sometimes it's really positive, like people feeling they can connect to you, people feeling like they're safe. And that, I mean, when Josue and I do our talks about, you know, games don't turn you into mass murderers. Games can actually be really helpful in coping and managing stress. And, you know, afterwards, there's always this huge outpouring of thank yous from the people who attended because it makes them feel like they're not alone. It makes them feel that this thing that they've been doing to help themselves is a good thing and that they're not necessarily, they're not automatically, you know, I hate the term, but crazy or, you know, something extreme along those lines. And so it can be really beneficial. But on the other hand, it's just as easy to slip into, you know, what I call a bitch and moan fest about what's going on. And that can devolve so fast. And yeah, it's kind of trying to find that balance. And I think that's what you see streamers doing right now, whether it's on Facebook or Twitch or YouTube, is there's kind of like two camps. There's usually one person who's trying to share their personal experience, which is always a tricky thing to analyze because who am I to tell you about your experience? I'm no one. So I try really, really hard not to judge in that space. But then there's the second person, and it doesn't even have to be a separate person. They can have both of these, where they think that either their knowledge or experience makes them an expert in that area. And the best example I have of this is there was a Vox article that came out about 13 Reasons Why, which I'm sure you've heard of, but if you haven't, it was a Netflix show that is basically about adolescent suicide and a teenager who commits suicide. And I won't spoil the rest of it because I know, Josue, you and the rest of the Game Therapy Network had an awesome jam session on that last night, right?
And we've talked about it for hours. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so, but it was good. It was good. And we talked about this article, actually.
Yeah. So tune into that to get more. But the thing I'm trying to get across is the gist of the article was it was a father saying, "Therapist told me my son shouldn't watch this show, but I think they're wrong. So my son and I watched it anyway." And I sat there and I almost pulled my hair out. I wrote like 5 angry tweets and then deleted all of them that I wanted to just share with Vox. Like, how irresponsible can you be? This is a huge topic that has epic ramifications, and you're letting some random dude say that all of these professionals are wrong? And first of all, the professionals never told him not to watch it. They just told him to be careful. And so the fact that he watched the show with his kid and they processed what went on, that's exactly what a mental health professional would want you to do. But the headline, and if you read the article, it's like, oh, well, what do they know? And that to me is just, it makes me so mad because mental health already has enough BS that it's dealing with. Therapists already fight to be seen as legitimate. You know, people who study these things and are experts fight to be seen as experts, as people who know what they're doing and who can help. And so some random dad and his kid is like, well, blah, and Vox prints it. They didn't even identify it as an opinion piece. Because usually they do Vox first person and it identifies it as an opinion piece. But no, this was just put out there. And I'm sorry. I just got on my ranty box and I don't know where I am anymore or where I came from. So I'm going to stop. But yes.
I'll take over. Thank you.
Okay, good. Oh, good.
Yeah, that article didn't make me angry at all. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it a little differently in the way that you're talking about it, but I think it definitely adds to the discussion that I don't think that psychologists and mental health professionals, and I mean principals for that matter, right? To refer to that article, have all the say when it comes to suicide, when it comes to mental health issues. No one group can speak to all of it, regardless of how much they've studied it and what their expertise is. There is a place for different people to talk about it, but there is a way to do that. Like, I actually liked that article because it talked about how he saw it, his son saw it, and now they were able to have a conversation about something that maybe, was harder before then. And like on my show Geek Therapy, like that's one of the things that I constantly talk about, like how media allows us to talk about more difficult topics and issues than just addressing them head on. And so I like that part of it, but it doesn't mean that his conversation with his son may have been, could have been horrible, right? But that doesn't mean that good things can't happen. And just like there are mental health people who know what they're talking about, there are others who don't know what they're talking about. And I wouldn't make a I try to not make a blanket statement about anything, especially like a piece of media and how that's going to be interpreted. But again, like everybody's talking about it, and what do you do? Like, I often feel this pressure to kind of that within our own community we have to self-correct, right? That's very obvious in journal articles, right? And research. And we do peer review and we call each other out. But what about when you're at a panel or you're at a convention and people just start saying stupid things? And is tweeting about it, two or three times enough? Is there something more that we can do about it? Is sharing it or not sharing it the right way to go? I mean, I struggle with these things all the time. I've been on panels with people where they say something stupid and I'm like, oh, like, do I start some shit here right now and live in front of an audience? Do I take it over? I mean, and ultimately, I always think like that's probably what I should have done, but it's an uncomfortable position to be in, even as a professional, and also like no one person is the authority on these very broad and difficult topics.
Yeah, I mean, you can, for example, if you're streaming or talking about a situation that you have experienced, you are the expert. Like, nobody else can tell Timmy what Timmy's depression feels like, or tell Susie what Susie's anxiety feels like. So at that point, you own your experience.
Well, you can talk about symptoms and feelings. If you start saying that you have a particular diagnosis or disorder and you don't, or you don't know what that means, that's something different.
Right. Yeah. So if I was to say, hey, I have anxiety, and when I feel anxiety, here are the six things that I experience, then, that is true to your experience. And so whether you're at a panel or streaming like that, that's, again, I have no problem with that. It's when someone starts saying, hey, I have anxiety, and this is what you do, and this is what it looks like, and this is how it manifests, is when I start to get uncomfortable. And then when people are flat out wrong, that's when I start to get a little bit angry, a little bit spicy, as we like to say here on Psych Tech. I get spicy because it's so frustrating that, this is such an important topic, I think, for everyone, not just for us and not just for people who listen to Psych Tech, but I mean, you think about the sheer volume of people who will experience some kind of mental health issue in their life. I mean, the prevalence rate of depression it's almost 50% that somebody will experience depression at some point in their life. So the chances that either you or the person next to you are either currently have or will struggle with depression is incredibly high. And it just makes me so mad that it's treated the way it currently is. But I think that is one thing where the positivity can come back in, because when you're streaming, I think the conversations that can be had on places like Facebook Live or YouTube or Facebook have the possibility to be so much more real in terms of their meaning and their context than anything put out by media. So like a 13 Reasons Why or, you know, some other show trying to showcase a mental health issue, or, you know, even something like The Sopranos, where there's a therapist that Tony goes to see. So I think that's my hope for these kinds of channels, is that the good stuff tends to surface, you know, and I hope that trend continues in terms of mental health.
So when you said that, you know, you don't want to see it treated the way it is treated, what do you mean by that exactly? Like, how are things happening now that you don't like? What is it specifically?
I cannot tell you how many times I've heard even professionals like belittle or make light of something that somebody's going through. I think that mental health is still highly stigmatized. And then if you want to talk about it specifically in the media, you know, I wrote an entire paper on how crappy mental health is represented in video games. And there's tons of studies about the representation of mental health in film and, you know, kind of across the media spectrum. The most common trope for somebody with a mental illness is for them to be a homicidal maniac. And there was even a really fascinating article that showed people in television who have a mental illness are something like 70 times more likely to act violently than a non-mentally ill counterpart, which we know to be blatantly against what is true and what is factual in the world. And so, yeah, there's always the argument that it's fiction, it's media, you know, they're going to create a story and they don't have to be true to life. That's fine. But on the other hand, like there are these stereotypes that are continued to be perpetuated. And I hope that people who are streaming and talking openly about either their mental health issues and experiences or those that have impacted them are able to get it out there in a way that is as consumable as some of this fake BS.
Yeah. I mean, fake news and alternative facts are a whole other discussion, but it's the same problem, right? Like, you heard something once and you believe it, or you think that this is the way it is. And if you have a platform, you're going to use it, and then someone else is going to hear it and repeat it. And it's a really, really difficult problem. And
so I just want to address real quick, you do not use only 10% of your brain. Please. Can we just kill that one?
I don't know.
It's gone. It's gone now. I took care of it. It's gone.
I heard that once. I don't know if I believe you. You're not the first person to talk to me about this. Yeah, that one's not true. I mean, you know, broadly, again, there's just so much misinformation, and I don't know. There's across the board, it's really hard to, I'm not against people talking about how they feel and sharing that. And I'm not against people, I mean, because that opens questions. I mean, that opens things up for questions. If people like be more critical, right? Like, ask more questions, double check things. Don't just, just because someone's on YouTube doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about. Just because someone has a podcast doesn't mean that they know what they're talking about.
Except for us.
Maybe sometimes, most of the time, you know, I mean, and like related to all of this, like of just misinformation and stuff. Like, sometimes I hear people talk about video games. Like, I know a lot about video games. They'll say something wrong. And it's funny when you hear someone say like, oh, I'm going to get some hate mail for that one. You know, like we need to, I'd like to see more hate mail for stupid mental health stuff. Very much so. Like, I want to encourage that kind of dialogue and that kind of feedback, because like you said, the more we leave it as is, the more we do not address it, the more of a problem it is. And so I guess in terms of things that we can do, right? I mean, if you know about something like this, I think it's a good idea to call people out on what's wrong. And I don't mean like somebody who is like on the stream and is crying and you know, saying that they have, I don't know, something happened yesterday and now I have PTSD. Like, that's like, you're using the diagnosis wrong. you know? So, I mean, do I call you out? Like,
I think maybe, if I may, what you might be getting at is the difference between stupid and harmful.
I think stupidity can be harmful.
Well, yeah, but I mean, someone saying, oh, you only use 10% of your brain. Okay, that's just stupid. Like, that's a factoid, but I don't think it's necessarily going to do any harm. Like, I don't, whereas someone saying, oh, the only way to know you're depressed is if you feel sad.
Yeah.
That is harmful, because then someone might think, oh, well, all these other symptoms that I'm experiencing, I guess it's not a big deal. So that for me, at least, is my cutoff. And not saying that stupid can't be harmful, but I try to think about if they said something stupid, does it have the potential for harm? And that's when I get angry.
Even that's more complicated, because if someone says, like, oh, if you're feeling sad, you're probably depressed. Oh, that definitely means you're depressed. I don't think that's as much of a problem as then that person going to their general practitioner and saying, hey, I feel kind of sad. I think I'm depressed. And then that jackass giving them a prescription or something, right? And not telling them to go see a therapist or go do something else.
Now, see, like, it's getting spicy.
Well, I mean, that stuff bothers me, right? Like, if we're using the harmful and stupid, right? I mean, that doctor is going to do way more harm than the YouTuber who's just trying to tell people, like, yeah, man, like, go get yourself checked out, you know, because that maybe you are depressed. I don't know. So, like, I think a lot of this comes from a good place. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know how we police each other in this sense. And I don't know the best way to do it. Again, like, somebody's crying on their stream, I'm not going to be like, cut your stream off or do this, or like, actually that thing you just said is really wrong. Like, there's it's complicated. It's so complicated.
Like, and most of life.
Yes. And like, I'm at least happy that we do have, like, I think there are some responsible things that we can do, right? And maybe not just like harmful and stupid, but also like responsible and irresponsible. I think that there's no harm in plugging the national suicide hotline, or even something like 211 United Way so you can get help, mm-hmm. the crisis text hotline, or putting up a warning for a topic that's going to be discussed. Like, I don't think those things are harmful in any way, and they can help a lot. And if you're talking about a particular topic, this is something that I've been keeping an eye out for, because I'm working with someone on seeing if we can address this in a different way, especially on something like YouTube, where if somebody is talking about an issue that is difficult, and maybe they didn't anticipate it, because, you know, sometimes things come up. Well, that's an opportunity to provide some sort of resource to help someone. And I'm glad that Facebook has integrated all these brand new tools that allow users to contact these different channels and tie those that media to it, so they can at least try to help. I think that, you know, even at some point you feel kind of helpless. Like, again, like that PAX presentation that we were at, right? He was so uncomfortable. Like, what do we do? Like, what is the...
I left.
I know. No, you left before it even got bad. I know. You saw the potential and you left. And like, is that... I don't think that's unethical, right? I think it's messed up to put anybody in a situation like that. And unfortunately now, we're all potentially in that situation at any moment, at any time, if we're staring at a screen.
Yeah.
And at least there are resources, and some people are talking about how to at least... I mean, I think that's the least we can do, you know, is to at least provide resources if we're the ones talking about these topics. And if somebody's talking about them and they aren't bringing up resources and it's not part of a conversation and you do know those resources, maybe bring them up. Like, that's as close as I'm going to get to advice giving on this whole conversation.
Yeah, I think my parting piece of advice is, if you are someone who is streaming and broadcasting about mental illness, or you're watching something like that, I guess my ask of you would be to observe competence. So as a psychologist, I can only talk about and treat people in my area of competence. And to do otherwise would be unethical. So if someone wants to ask me, you know, hey, I am having some negative thoughts, how can I address that? You know, I'm trained in CBT and I can address that issue. If someone said, hey, I'm from a different country who has a totally different culture and I'm having issues with some like sexual dysfunction, like I'm not a cross-cultural psychologist and I'm not a reproductive health or psychologist, so it would be on me to refer them to somebody else. And I guess that's what I'm asking of people who are streaming, and to observe your own competence. So if someone's asking you about what it was like for you, go for it. Like, that is your experience. You can totally own it. But once they start asking you questions about what kind of medication should I take or things like that, you know, it's, I think the responsible thing to do is to admit what you don't know and refer if you can. And then similarly, if you're consuming this kind of information just to be a critical consumer, and that if someone seems to be talking out of their ass, they probably are. And I think that's how we get to a better place.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, on the issue of competence, I think in general, like in the most broad sense, be digitally competent. So just know that any media that you consume, there's probably some sort of reporting feature and way to tag things from happening. So maybe you couldn't stop this one video from being potentially stupid or harmful or irresponsible. But, you know, if you tag it, if you report it, there are mechanisms in place to reduce these type of things, including, and that includes if you see people being abusive, being toxic online, like report the shit out of those people and any media that comes out that could be problematic. And I think that's the best way that we can all help each other.
Yeah. Woo woo. I'll upvote that.
All right. So that's it for PsychTech this week. You can find more episodes of PsychTech at psychtechpodcast.com. We're at PsychTechCast on Twitter. I am Josue A. Cardona on Twitter. Kelly is Kelly N. Dunlap on Twitter. And we are part of the Geek Therapy Podcast Network. And all month long, we're doing mental health awareness stuff. So on Headshots, we talked about video games and therapy. We had our first cross podcast where we talked about suicide in media. And on Geek Therapy, we're talking about mental health professions. And we'll be talking more about mental health awareness in general for the rest of the month of May. And thank you for joining us. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right. Bye, everybody. I just want you to know that I totally wave at my microphone every freaking week.